Tokyo Podcast Quick Cast.
Hey everyone, I got a special show for you today coming from Canada about a new software mapping program that hopes to return some of the personal articles that have been lost during the earthquake last year in Japan. Hey everybody, welcome to Tokyo Podcast. I'm Anthony Joe, here on holiday here in Canada. This is actually my last day in Canada, and I'm looking forward to coming back to Japan tomorrow. But before I come back, I wanted to do a quick podcast to introduce a friend of mine who has a very unique software development company that I think has a very special connection to Japan. Mr. Rohit Bhatia is from CloverPoint, which is a full-service software development company that focuses on online web mapping. Their latest release is called Map Social that allows you and your friends to map an online community and visualize the things that are most important to you. I'm particularly interested in the use of this Map Social program to create an app called BC Beach Watch. And that's what Rohit is here to talk to us today. Hey Rohit, welcome to Tokyo Podcast.
I'm glad to be here, Anthony.
Give me a brief kind of synopsis of what Map Social is, and then we'll talk about BC Beach Watch later. But what is kind of the background of Map Social? What does that allow people to do?
So Map Social is an online interactive mapping platform. So there's nothing like this really out there right now where you can map with your community or map with your network in real time. And so this allows you to post different locations and post pictures, video, audio, and it allows you to build a map with your friend in a community, in a sort of like a creating like a virtual map that you guys can build together at one time.
And how does your program differ from Google Maps?
Now, Google Maps is fairly static. It doesn't allow you to see what your other users are doing at the same time. It doesn't allow you to piggyback off other users and work together and collaborate. It's kind of Google Maps is sort of an individual map, and you can make it and send it off to your friends. But if you want to build something together and have that interaction, you can't do that with Google Maps.
Right. Now, we should mention that your app is currently in beta. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So once it's released, some of the features that I found particularly interesting are that if I'm, say, at a car show and I happen to see a car that I really like, I can post a picture or a video of that car on the web and my friends can see it in real time. Is that right?
That's correct. So you can see. So if you're at a car show, you see a car and you want your friends to be seeing it too, you can post a picture of exactly where that car is in real time, and your friends can pop up and see it as well. So if they happen to see the same car at a different car show, they can take a picture and pop it up and of where they saw that car. And so now you can create a map of and track different things.
Right. And that's what's actually kind of interesting about your BC Beach Watch program. Talk to us about that. What's the connection with BC Beach Watch and Japan?
Well, BC Beach Watch is a really unique sort of application or use of Map Social that we found. The whole concept behind BC Beach Watch is the fact that last year the tsunami hit in Japan, and that was just absolutely devastating for everybody. But out of that, there's supposed to be about 20 million tons of debris that are making its way across the ocean across the entire, not just British Columbia, but across the entire West Coast. And now here, there's an opportunity here that we see a chance of a lot of personal belongings and personal artifacts of the Japanese citizens, and potential of that to wash up ashore. And so rather than just having it washed up ashore and us doing nothing with it, we wanted to take a proactive approach because there's something here and there's the possibility of something showing up that somebody may want back. And so we've taken this a unique approach to this disaster that occurred and trying to put a positive light on it and help the Japanese citizens at least get back some of what they've lost, if possible.
Right, because 20 tons of debris, I mean, that's a number that I can't
20 million tons, yeah.
Oh, 20 million tons, wow, I can't even comprehend that. But You know, an image that's recently been on the news here quite a bit is that Japanese fishing vessel that made its way all the way across the Pacific, and I believe it ended up somewhere near Alaska. Is that right?
Yeah, it was about 100 kilometers off the coast of, in between the coast of BC and Alaska.
Right, and they actually shot it and sunk it, I believe.
Yes, it did. It was at least it said that it was a hazard to the Navy that was patrolling the area, so they had to sink it.
Right. But amongst all this 20 million tons of debris, I'm sure there's going to be some artifacts and personal belongings that will survive the trip.
Absolutely.
And so your goal is to be able to document this, document where it comes ashore using your map software, and then somehow try to get it back to the rightful owner in Japan. Is that right?
Exactly. That's correct.
And are you working with any government authorities right now?
We are in the process of discussions with some Canadian government and U.S. government officials. That's current.
Okay. And so walk us through the process then. What happens if someone is walking on the beach here in Vancouver, Canada, and they find something that looks like it came from Japan? They take a picture of it with their phone, and then what happens?
We tell them to take a picture of it with their phone and then upload it onto BC Beach Watch, which is a public map for people to see, on which we've launched on the Facebook platform, for the idea is that it's the best way to get a hold of a mass audience, and it's the best way to attract you guys in Japan as well as us in Canada and the west coast of the U.S. And bring us all together in a one mass platform. And so the idea is so somebody's walking down the beach in Vancouver, Canada, sees something that could be from Japan, maybe a locket or a photo or a necklace or anything, and they take a picture of it, upload it onto PC Beach Watch, and put the map point of where they found it. So this way it creates a public platform that government agencies can now use to see of what's coming up and where they can focus most of their efforts. It also increases community involvement and community engagement, because it's going to get more people out there and more people interested in finding things, and as well as it helps the Japanese consulate see what's there and find a way to return it if it's claimed. And it can be claimed by Japanese citizens, because being on Facebook, on the Facebook platform, and having such a mass audience, those in Japan, they can take a look on Facebook on this map and see what's coming up, the debris that's coming washing ashore. And through that, they can see if something that's clearly noticeably theirs, they can contact their consulate or their government, and in turn, it's a government effort to return everything back to its rightful owners if we find an owner for it.
Right, and that's what's really great about the use of Facebook, is that this allows you to reach a large audience relatively quickly. Instead of you guys, you know, building your own website and trying to get the word out, putting on a Facebook app allows you to reach, you know, hundreds of millions of people around the world, and the growing number of Facebook users in Japan, to allow them to kind of see if any of their artifacts and personal belongings are recoverable.
That's exactly it. And that was the whole idea of tapping into the Facebook market, is to reach a large audience quickly.
And are you working with the Japanese embassy at all?
We are in talks with the Japanese consulate, both in Vancouver and in the West Coast, and they've all have stated the same concept that anything that can be returned to the citizens of Japan, they're going to take with the effort and do what they have to do to in order to return it.
Well, that's really great. So someone finds something here, takes a photo of it, the person in Japan recognizes it and say, hey, that's mine. It will go through the government officials at the consulate and make their way back to Japan.
Yes, that is the idea. We are currently in talks with some provincial government levels and some consulate levels in order to get everything under wraps.
Okay, great. Now let's, like we mentioned, the program is in beta, but once you guys get it released and everything, how can people find it on Facebook?
There will be a BC Beach Watch page. Currently, we have a BC Beach Watch. You can follow BC Beach Watch on Twitter as well, and all updates will keep coming through there, but there will be a BC Beachwatch app on Facebook and that you can log on to, and there will be a public map for you. But of course, stay tuned to Anthony, because more information will come as we do launch.
Excellent. Yeah, like you said, once the program is available, I will make an announcement on Tokyo Podcast. So pay attention to that. I'll also post something on my own Facebook page. And I really think this is a great program that you guys are doing, and hopefully can put a bit of a positive spin on an otherwise very negative situation that happened in Japan.
That is exactly the hope. It's things like this that get the world to come together and work together. Like, it's the typical East meets West sort of idea, is that here we all have to buckle down. Everybody gets affected by what happened, and so we all buckle down, and we all want to put the effort in because we want to make it as least painful as possible for the experience that happened to those people. They've already lost enough. We're hoping that they don't have to lose more, and if in fact we can get some of the back to them that they have lost, there's nothing like it.
Absolutely, I fully agree. Okay, well, great. Thanks, Rohit. Thanks for coming on Tokyo Podcast, and I'm looking forward to checking out your BC Beachwatch program.
Great, Anthony. I appreciate that. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Rohit for coming on the show and talking to us about his BC Beachwatch program. I really think this is a unique way of using Facebook and mapping and technology to hopefully return to Japan some of these personal possessions that may have survived the journey across the Pacific. Like you mentioned, their program is still in the works. They're still sorting out a lot of the regulations and rules in regards to dealing with the embassy and the different government entities. I know they're dealing with the governments in Canada and America and like the whole west coast of Canada and America. So it's going to take a little bit of time to iron out all the bugs and get all the rules and regulations finished. But once it's all done, I will certainly make a special announcement on Tokyo Podcast, and I will post links to their Facebook page when and then Japanese people here in Japan can start to search through the Facebook page to see if they recognize any of the items that are coming ashore in the west coast of North America. So look forward to that. It should be kind of an interesting project to see what happens with that. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, this is my last day in Canada. I'm really excited about heading back to Japan. Tokyo Podcast will kick back into full gear once I get back. So next week, join me for a very special interview with a gentleman who goes by the name Hiko Simon. And if you're a fan of YouTube videos and you've done a search for Japanese-related videos, you definitely know who Hiko Simon is. He is one of the most popular YouTube creators here in Japan. And I'm going to be talking to him about what it's like to be a foreigner in Japan. It's been an interesting experience for me being back in Canada after being gone for so long. It kind of feels like reverse culture shock. I feel like almost a tourist in my own town. So this got me thinking about what it's like to be an expat or a foreigner in Japan, or to even go back to your home country. So Hiko Simon has been in Japan for a long time, and he's posted a number of very interesting videos about what it's like to be a foreigner in Japan and kind of the whole controversy about whether foreigners can ever be accepted into Japanese society and all that kind of stuff. So I'm looking forward to talking to him. I'm looking forward to getting back to Japan next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. I'm Anthony Joe, and bye-bye.